Missed something? Be sure to like us on Facebook for great moments from the shows and breaking sports news. 98.5, the Sports Hub. In your car at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5, thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. I have no idea what's going on, but intern Nick and Bird are in studio.
Mm-hmm.
Mayhem!
Oh, that's not
sure! What'd he say?
Mayhem.
It was mayhem.
Oh, okay.
Because there's mayhem, apparently, in studio, well, without headphones. You're not going to need headphones, Bird. You're not going to need headphones for this.
All right.
So, the biggest movie of the year, or what is predicted to be the biggest movie of the year, comes out this Thursday.
On Golden Pond 2.
It is. It's Fonda's Revenge.
Fonda.
They just put him in a helicopter and he just annihilates everyone on the ground in the camp house or whatever the hell
carpet
that was.
Carpet bombs the hell out of everyone.
That's right. And everyone's dead.
Right.
And
Shaky Lady McGee comes
right.
back.
It's Catherine Hepburn. That's okay. I don't think she was called Shaky Lady McGee. But either way, all the Fondas are just now, they get mowed down by a helicopter. It's going to be a family film. No, it would be Avengers Infinity War! Now, this film is, I've missed like out on like a couple of the Marvel movies, so I'm probably not going to have much of a clue of what's going to be going on in some of this. I don't know why everyone's together. All I know is that every Avenger and every Marvel character seems to show up in this film at some sort of point. And I also know that, Fred, I received the longest disclaimer I've ever received for the screening of this movie. Like, they are so freaking out about spoilers on this and getting the word out before the film comes out. This was a 3-page disclaimer that I had to agree to wow. before I went to this movie. And as a matter of fact, when I asked if certain people would go, because I did have some people who asked me if they wanted to go, a bunch of people, I had to cut them off. They're not like in the circle like that.
Is it that Arrow Man saves the day?
I said Arrow Man never runs out of arrows.
Arrow Man?
Yes. The most pointless Avenger, guy who shoots arrows and can run out after 5 of them. Why are you an Avenger? Who the hell knows? But I do know that I will be sitting next to potentially 3 people. One of them being Joe Haggerty, and I'm sure a Star Wars themed baseball jersey.
That his body is just begging to rip it apart.
Hang on. Is the game tonight?
Yes. Yeah.
In Toronto?
Yes.
Okay, so the screening is tomorrow.
Yep.
So I guess he's going to, as soon as he gets off the plane, go to the screening.
Remember, we had him on. He had already landed at Logan at like 7:30 in the morning.
He's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Sure he'll be showered and ready to go. So he will be at the Avengers screening. Now, one thing I do know, however, is that I have been asked once again by Nick Jamelli and Bird to go to the screening. Now, this is a ticket that is very, very... I've had a ton of people actually ask to get into this, but at some point, they had to cut me off. So, as of right now, I've got spaces for Joe, you, and you. But I just want to make sure that you guys are worth it, that you guys indeed are worth the ticket, and I'm not wasting it on some like people who know nothing about the Marvel Universe.
Some noobs,
all right? I don't want you to get pooned by the people on the internet, as they like to say,
gotcha.
That you don't know what the hell you're talking about when it comes to all things Marvel. So tomorrow, I'm going to make you guys earn your ticket to go see this, okay?
All right.
How confident are you in your knowledge of all things Marvel there, Bird?
About 80%.
Okay, good. How about you, Nick?
Pretty confident.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what's going to happen. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, I am going to have a 5-question challenge for each of you.
Okay.
If you get 3 questions wrong, you are not going to go to the screening. With every question that you get wrong, I will have in front of you a chip that is covered in ghost pepper sauce. For every single question you get wrong, you will have to eat an entire chip covered with ghost pepper sauce.
I'm down.
If you miss 3 questions, you A, are not only allowed to not go to the screening, but B, the person who does go will whisper in your ear the spoiler before you see it.
Fine. I can live with
that. Do you agree to these terms?
I say do.
Yes.
Oh, yeah!
The spoiler's the worst part.
I'm not kidding you. To them, Is that the worst part?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Hands down.
People are freaking out. Like, there is, like, this big
what
movement on the internet.
What could possibly happen?
Well, I heard that Captain America dies.
Everybody dies, Fred. The Justice League is completely obliterated.
Dude, I haven't seen it. Nobody's seen it. I can say whatever right now.
Sorry,
I
don't get mad at me.
See, but, that's my problem.
But I've heard that Captain America dies.
Maybe I'll see it and just get on the air tomorrow.
Put a nice little movie jingle to it.
But that's the rumor. But I mean, so that's the thing everyone's freaking out about. They do not want to know the spoilers to any of it. So do you think that you know enough about the Marvel Universe that to A, if you get a question wrong, you will eat a ghost pepper chip, and B, if you get three wrong, not only will you not go, but the person who does go will get to whisper the spoiler in your ear.
I'm good.
On the air.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
What, and in the unlikely event that this happens, what if they both miss three?
Then I will whisper the spoiler in their ear.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay.
Actually,
oh, even, unfair.
Or even worse, Joe Haggerty will.
Okay. All right.
Which I don't think you want to stand as close to Joe Haggerty.
Yeah, you'll have to use the shirt that he had on as a pillowcase.
Hang on, that's even better. You will have to wear one of Joe Haggerty's worn baseball jerseys.
You have to try to fit your hand in between his body and the baseball jersey.
Man.
How about that? If you miss all five, if you go over, you have to wear one of Joe Haggerty's used Star Wars baseball jerseys for a week.
That seems unfair.
Yeah, I'm not the one who wants to go to this so bad.
Jeez.
So, you're not going to go over, though. I don't know. I get to write the question, so maybe it'd be funny if you did. maybe I'll dig deep on this one. So, okay, so you guys excited about this?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Well, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, it will be the challenge. We will have the ghost pepper chips in front of you, and we will have it all ready to roll.
Okay.
Okay. And I hear Captain America dies.
I heard that rumor, too.
Okay, good. All right. Well, thank you guys very much.
The leaked rumor to get you off the scent. That's all that is.
Mm-hmm. It might be.
A spoiler for a fake movie.
There are 37 superheroes in this one. You got to figure one of them bites it,
as
right?
long as it's not Arrow Man.
Okay, which one doesn't want to have to do this crap anymore? Like, who's like, I'm out? Like,
Robert Downey Jr.
I was thinking about that.
Iron Man. Downey's been trying to get out for what, 5 years now?
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen? He's going to come back in the second one. It's going to be like Search for Spock. He's going to die and everyone's going to freak out, but he's going to come back. Yeah.
He's made his money.
He's made over a quarter of $1 billion,
but
right?
He's not, I mean, like, this is... What hit movies has Robert Downey Jr. made as of late that
maybe
weren't
now
the
he can just do vanity
he's got his
projects.
Cash. He can do, you know. Remember when George Clooney made all his money and then decided he was going to be politically active and did Syriana and all that stuff? Maybe that's where Robert Downey's going.
Just political movies?
Yes, political movies.
I feel like that's probably not,
sure.
not the case.
It's going to be very serious now. People want to take him seriously as an actor.
I just like the idea of the spoilers.
Trust me, Fred.
The Hulk, he throws a lot of stuff around.
Hulk smash.
I have to admit, the Star Wars ones, I didn't want to hear any spoiler. Like that, like I really didn't want to know anything.
That was the problem. I had heard that Han Solo had died before I went and saw the movie. Kind of wrecked it for me.
Jerk? Why are you saying that now?
I know. I've ruined it for everybody.
I had no idea Han Solo was going to die.
I did.
I had no idea.
Beforehand. It was awful.
Did I tell you about how I took my son and like he was like a little kid and he had no idea. Like he loved Han Solo. And I was like, I'd already seen the screening. And I'm like, all right, I'll take him to go see it. But that part's going to be so disturbing for him that I'm going to take him to the bathroom when that happens. And sure enough, we went. It was right before when school got out. So I took him to the movie and I was like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. He's like, no, I don't want to leave. I'm like, I got to go. He was like, okay. So we go to the bathroom. I wait there, take my time. When we get back, the whole scene was done and over with. Han Solo had died. There was no real mention of it after that. So we leave the theater and he enjoyed it. So the first day back at school, when it gets back in, my wife picks him up from school and he's bawling. And she's like, what's wrong? He goes, Mom, did Han Solo die? My friend said that Han Solo died. And I said, he didn't die. They said, you didn't see the movie. You're a liar. And you never see Star Wars movies. You're not cool enough to see Star Wars. Mom, did Han Solo die? And she goes, yeah, we did that because we thought you'd freak out. Just lost his mind. So everything backfired. Nice Me trying job. To be a decent father and like protect my kid completely backfired.
It's funny. I took my son to that movie and he had to go to the bathroom and I like ran him back so we could see Han Solo die.
You wanted him to see that?
No, I wanted to see it. I wanted to see Han Solo get off the screen with your hoop earring.
That's not a hoop. He has a diamond. It's one single diamond that he rocks.
I mean, stud. Yeah. Well, listen. I said, get out of here. You haven't made anything good since American Graffiti.
which he had a non-speaking role in, if I remember correctly.
I said good riddance.
Did you say he's done anything since American Graffiti? Anything
That's
good?
Right. Nothing.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
Pish posh. All right. Well, there. That should be exciting. The spoiler part is the most exciting part of it. Because Lord knows.
Does that happen right away? Like, in the studio after the person loses, or does
No, I haven't seen it. It's tomorrow. After I see it,
I'll
whisper it to him, or Nick will whisper it to Bird, or whoever it works.
Okay.
So, there's a chance they could both go. There's a chance they could both end up making it. Yeah, it's not just one or the other.
That wouldn't work too well for the bid if both of them ace the questions.
Well, if they miss a few, then they might have to eat some of those
That's
ghost
true, too. Okay.
Well, listen, I'll spoil the movie, Daddy's Home 2. For them as well.
Wackiness ensues.
Say, John Cena shows up.
Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Toucher and Rich.
You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Ah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Probably could have stuffed more pucks with my eyes closed. That's about it. It's on me, but, you know, moving on next one.
98.5, the Sports Hub. That, of course, Tuukka Rask after game 5. Explaining why he was pulled. His performance after winning a game almost single-handedly for the team. He falls apart in game 5. By the way, you can stream every NHL Bruins game. I don't know. This is why it's written like this. Every Bruins game during the playoffs on the free 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Download it now at 98.5thesportshub.com/app. You can hear Bob Beers tonight as he joins us from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hello, Mr. Bob Beers.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
We are doing well. I assume you're tan.
We're getting there.
All right.
Not with the weather last week, though.
All right. Well, listen, it's time for you to get out there. All right. This Toronto's team speed is really ridiculous. Is there anything you see the Bruins not doing to kind of combat that they could be?
Well, I thought they did a better job of it maybe in game 4. I know that they had some good chances. I know that they had some zone time where Rask made some good saves, but they were good through the neutral zone, and I think that's the key for them right now. They gave up a lot of opportunities there in game 5. They were just more sharp at all. I mean, coming out of their own zone, in the neutral zone, they allowed Toronto to gain the zone with speed. They backed off. The gaps weren't good. And when you do that, you know, they're going to be effective. So, you know, the Bruins have some things that I think that they're comfortable with their game plan. It's just a matter of executing. And they didn't play well through the first period and a half of that game 5. And it showed. And, you know, you have 2-on-2s where guys are getting behind people. You have odd man rushes coming at you, 3-on-2s. It wasn't sharp at all for them in that game. It got better as it went on, but, you know, that's when the penalties started to pile up and you had power plays and really started to gain some momentum there. But the first period and a half, they were good.
Well, Bob, the story of the last two games has been Tuukka Rask for two completely different reasons. And after the game, it was pretty funny seeing Bruce Cassidy. He did not shy away from calling Tuukka Rask out, and he did it several times. How much of it do you believe was Tuukka Rask? Obviously, he let in some soft goals, but how much of it was the people in front of him as well?
It was both. I mean, really. I mean, you know, I would have loved to see him come up with a save, maybe on Bozak. But that was a 3-on-2, and that was right after the Bruins had made the game 2-1. Right, that was right after Backes' goal, and Bozak came down and scored. So I would have liked to see him come up with that save, although Bozak was trying to go top glove, and he ended up fanning on it, and he ended up going underneath the glove. But he, you know, Rask needed to be better. There's no question about it. But I didn't like what was going on in front of him at all. And I guess it goes hand in hand, right? I didn't like what was going on in front of him through maybe the first period and a half of game 4. The difference was he made all the saves. And it gave the Bruins time to get their feet going and get into the game and you know, take advantage of Toronto defensively. But last game, he didn't come up with the saves, and they weren't good through the first period and a half, and, you know, you saw the results. So it was both, really. He needed to be better, but the guys in front of him weren't very good either.
What do you think was bothering Bergeron to have him miss game 4?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. I mean, they said upper body. It could be any number of things, but when I watched him in game five, he took all the faceoffs. He won the majority of faceoffs he took when he wasn't getting kicked out of the draws.
Okay, real quick, I don't mean to side. Is this, have they just really reached a ridiculous level of kicking people out of draws? It seems like there's been more than ever during these playoffs.
Well, what happens is, each game, see, there's a supervisor for each game. And each game, after the game's over, each team will talk to the supervisor and have their gripes, have their complaints. You know, whether it's, you know, this guy's cheating in the draws, or whether it's, you know, they should have too many men on the ice, or whatever it is. You know, there's all kinds of number of gripes. And then the supervisor decides which ones are legit and which ones aren't. And he'll go to the referees and he'll talk to them. And if Toronto's complaining about Boston and cheating on faceoffs, and he thinks it's legit, then he'll talk to the referees about it. And so before the game, you know, the referees are saying, all right, you know, we're going to make sure that, you know, both teams are doing what they're supposed to in the faceoff circle. And if there's a little slightest of cheating going on, then they're going to kick the guy out. And that was talked about before the season. And they're just kind of enforcing it a lot more now. And I think Toronto's been complaining a lot about it. They complained about it in 2013 when the Bruins played against Toronto. And that was one of the, you know, one of their biggest gripes, that the Bruins cheated a lot in the faceoff circle. So, I mean, they got away with it all year long. All of a sudden now they're not getting away.
Right.
It's kind of interesting that all of a sudden now, you know, it's becoming more of a factor.
All right. Did Nazem Kadri really impact the game in a great way for Toronto in game five? I mean, I saw him a little bit. Obviously, his presence was felt a little bit. But was the impact what Toronto had hoped? And do the Bruins need to adjust to it?
He made a great pass to Janssen on that goal, which was a two-on-two, and it should have been defended a lot better. That was against Char and McAvoy. So if you're talking about impact, I thought he had a good play there. But he adds depth to their lineup, and he makes their lines better up the middle. So in that way, yes, he impacts it. But I don't think that it's something that you say we have to game plan against. I mean, he's a good player. We all know that. You know, he self-destructed in game one. And, you know, he ran around a little bit last game. I thought he deserved a penalty there in the third period to cross-check it on a retaliation that didn't come. But, you know, I don't think that you overly game plan for him. It's just a matter of the Bruins executing better.
Bob, is there anything you would do differently in terms of lineup?
No. No, not right now. I like their lineup. I think that this is the lineup that they envisioned coming into the playoffs. It's just a matter of playing better.
Is there anything in particular that you see that they could do better?
Yeah, I mean, executing. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Breaking out, breakouts, and neutral zone right now. You know, they weren't fast through the neutral zone. They were flipping pucks out of the zone early in that game. And I don't know if that was by design or not, but, you know, I haven't seen that all year from them. So, you know, get back for the pucks. You know, use your feet, get back for pucks, make the good first pass out of the zone, or get, you know, battle along the boards in order to get the puck out of the zone, and have some speed coming through the neutral zone. I'd like to see them maybe come a little bit deeper in the neutral zone where they're not, you know, so high, and that way you can maybe come at Toronto with a little bit more speed. But, I mean, those areas, I think they're comfortable with what they're doing. It's just a matter of executing. A
couple of games ago, they seemed to be taking, like, a lot of shots from the point. Did you notice that as well?
Toronto or Boston?
Boston. More than usual, at least it seemed to me. And Jaffe.
Well, you know, then it's true.
All right.
You know, it's when you have the puck in the offensive zone, Toronto will... They don't want to get beat by Boston's forwards, so it's kind of a fire drill a little bit for them in their own zone anyhow when you really get going there. And that's where the Bruins need to play a lot more. You need to put some pressure on them in their zone, and they'll get running around. Their forwards don't want to play. They don't want to be in that zone. They want to get going up the ice. So your points will be open because, you know, you're effective with your forwards, and their forwards will get sucked down a little bit lower. Then the defense, we're going to have more time to get shots through.
Okay, Bob, so away from the Bruins game, when you were playing, did you ever have a situation – like what happened in Philly when they clinched a game, when they ended up, or when the Penguins ended up eliminating Philadelphia, where people were throwing full cans of beer onto the ice while you guys were on there. Have you ever been pelted by something from a fan during a game?
There's a lot of things that happened when I was playing in the minor leagues, guys. Trust me. There was, we got it on the bench all the time. Not from the home fans, though. We usually got it from the visiting fans. It seemed like Philly was throwing stuff at their home bench.
Well, I mean, who could have foreseen Philadelphia losing that series? I mean, it had to be a shock to the Philadelphia fans.
What was the worst thing you were hit with?
Beer bottles.
A bottle?
Well, plastic bottles. You know, they were smart enough not to serve actual bottles, but they're plastic bottles, but they're full of beer.
How tough is it not to turn around and actually turn on the crowd?
Well, there was a couple times where we tried to get into the crowd, but that's, It wasn't like Mike Milbury taking off his shoe and going up there in New York in Madison Square Garden, but there were a few times where he tried to get at people behind the bench.
It's like that wasn't like huge news when Milbury went into the
like, back then, it was like, oh, there he goes.
Like, if you did it now, it would be like, people wouldn't get stop the lawyers talking about it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's just kind of...
You'd have the whole Bruins lineup in jail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. There's got to be no better feeling than when a fan is taunting you, and then when you actually turn around and they realize, well, there's a chance that this guy might get back at me.
And they realize that we have a stick in our hand. You know, that stick is... No, there's been a lot of it, actually, but most of it was in the minors.
Okay.
All right, Bob Beers, have fun calling the game tonight. We appreciate you joining us.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Right. Thanks, man. That was the best. If you missed it, so Philadelphia gets eliminated, and this is the end of the game. 30 seconds left in the game, and here is how the broadcast went.
Center just threw something on the ice. Hard at all.
We got stuff flying all over.
These are not Flyer fans. Can't happen. Rust scores. Brian Rust. Now people get hurt. Both your players and the visitors here. Throw them right out of the rink.
Just watch it. There's heavy artillery flying all over down there. Beer cans, everything.
Oh, my goodness.
You just got to watch it. Players are huddling here.
And then they get scolded by the PA announcer, who, by the way, once again, this is Philly's PA announcer.
Okay, those of you that have been thrown, we've done it now. 2-minute bench fine on the Flyers for delay in the game. And 14 minutes, 58 seconds. There you go.
Way to go. And of
that'll
course,
teach
cheers,
you guys.
That's right. Well, that was like the one time I was in Philadelphia, and I went to go see that Guns N' Roses reunion show, but it was when it was just Axl Rose. It wasn't even a reunion. And Axl didn't show up. Like, it was like 10:30 at night, and around 10:45, all the security left, and the PA announcer came over. This is at the FU Center, and everyone was just like drunk. They'd been drinking all day. And they said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to announce Guns N' Roses will not be a... And all of a sudden the crowd goes nuts.
Oh, that's where I was doing nights and you called in.
Yeah, and he goes, please do not take out any of your anger on any of the equipment, and immediately everyone just storms the soundboard.
Here's
in the
an
middle.
Idea.
It just starts right.
Let me put this idea in the back of your head.
That's right. Hey, yeah, I know you were about to leave angry, but now that you've told us that there is expensive equipment that you could possibly smash, go for it.
That's an ingenious move. All right. Eddie Money has a show. I just want to hear the rest of this crap. It's selfish of me. I just want to hear what Eddie Money's got going on. It's called, what is it called?
Real Money.
Real Money, which is, it's the furthest thing from that. It's not real at all, but we'll hear some of that. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
Hey, what's everybody doing Thanksgiving? Gobble, gobble, gobble. This is the Money Man, Eddie Money, and I'm having my favorite turkey stuffing and a big old bird with cranberry sauce and lots of gravy. Sit down and have a big old meal, huh? Right here, 97.1 The River. Hang, we love you.
98.5 The Sports Hub. That's the hardest working man in radio. Eddie Money.
Topic? Thanksgiving.
You know, the things, turkey and... You know, that's what I'm doing. I'm relatable. Gonna eat turkey.
Cut any extra.
I'm gonna look at your turkey through the window and lick my chops. So Eddie Money has a show called Real Money that focuses on him and his five children who all live at home. There are three members of his band, including his daughter. Then there's a kid who doesn't look like he sleeps. That's a DJ. And then there's the older child who's an oaf that just lifts weights in the living room. Not with a bench or anything. He just has like a, he just does like cleaning jerks in the living room. And that was his introduction on the show.
Yeah, and every scene that he's in, he's lifting weights.
Yeah, he's like, you know, here's the, you know, she's a talented singer, and, you know, he's a great guitar player. Here's the kid no one cares about.
It's like, Cooper. It's Cooper.
Yeah, he's 400 pounds, but, you know, he can lift a lot of weight. Just, I mean, that... You got to see the show, just the first episode, just to see the guy lift weight.
It's like the only part that made me laugh.
He brings nothing to the table. Let's just say you're not going to see a lot of him.
Right, they might as well just keep him in the attic and just lock him there.
What we normally do, okay. Throw a stake in there. All right. He's the crappy one.
He doesn't look like either one of them.
No.
So what's going on there?
It was a mistake. I was on the road. I was in Nebraska, and next thing I know, 2 years later, they bring this meathead into my house. All right, so we'll start with quib number one. What's going on, Mike Lockhart? You're the one who's forced to go through these episodes.
Yeah, so Eddie and his wife are down in Cabo celebrating Sammy Hagar's birthday, or it's like the new skin tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it's kick-ass. And they've left the kids home, and, you know, he's a little worried about them.
Right.
The kids who are adults.
They're adults. And I'm sure.
Dan just said in my headphones, guess how old Sammy Hagar is? He's sneaky old. Like, he's like 70, isn't he?
Yeah.
If he's such a party guy, why is he in such good shape?
He's 72? Okay, let me look. But I mean, but he's sneaky old, that guy.
Yeah, Sammy lets me wash his cars. All right, here we go.
I don't know. The kids are all good. Nobody's in jail. Nobody's in rehab this week. So I'm very happy. I feel like God has blessed me that the kids are all healthy and nobody's really ripping off houses or shooting heroin. You know, I know some very good.
I'm glad your standards are so high.
You know, I'm having a good week.
All right, so, you know, this is going to be super boring.
There's no drugs.
You know, how are the kids doing?
I don't know.
Lifting weights. I know the Gump's lifting weights. Captain Wish I Never Had Him.
Sloth. It's like Sloth for the Goonies.
Yeah. Hey, you guys! Yeah, he's the garbage. You ever see Twins? He's like the DeVito. All right. I got this hot wife, but she just loves the songs. All right. What is coming up next, Mr. Lockhart?
All right. So the kids are home, as we know, and they're up to shenanigans. And, you know, that Jesse Money can't always be trusted with the car.
Now, Jesse Money is the female?
She's the daughter, yes. And
She's the one in interviews that he's referred to as fat.
Yeah. She's doing okay. She's getting kind of fat.
You know, hanging out with the roadies.
She's got a really good voice, but, you know, it's kind of muffled by a huge, fat, disgusting body. I love you, honey.
Oh my gosh, you guys. What's going on, dude?
What's going on, dude?
Yeah. Hey, what's happening here?
This is
here?
Definitely not scripted.
This is not the fifth time they've shot this. What's going on, dude? Oh, I seem to have wrecked the car. We've just taken the Will Smith Parents Don't Understand and just put it into our own show.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Oh my gosh. Oh
what
my
happened?
Gosh. Oh my gosh.
What's going on, dude?
I just hit something with my car.
Dude, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. I just got the car, too.
Yeah, because you crashed your other one.
Oh, Zach. No. Did you crash your car?
This is the worst. This is the worst show. I only want to know about when the Gump's there. Just either anybody or the Gump.
He's the one asking, oh, you crashed your car?
Is he lifting some sweet weights?
He's just got two triangular weights that he's just carrying around. I'm strong.
Why do you keep doing that?
Why do you keep crashing cars? Oh, it's a hobby.
Why do you keep doing that?
It's not that bad. I just hit.
All right. Well, let's check it out.
We'll see what happens.
Oh, wow.
Really?
No other cars involved.
Okay,
just
that's good as long as everybody's okay.
I was leaving my friend's house. I should have been going forward, but instead of going forward, I went back. And then I backed. And instead of hitting the brake, I hit the gas. Yeah, I just hit the wall.
Well, it's not as bad as the last car.
Yeah. Right? Well, the last car was total.
Yep.
So
they play the Looney Tunes music in the back.
It's like you can hear it. It's like, get ready for something wacky. Here it comes.
Now, yeah, she's like, I went through the windshield and I've...
I murdered a family of five.
I'm on life support. Oh, she's done it again. She crashed the car and went through the windshield. She's bleeding. She's got really rare blood type. So it's hit or miss. All right, so what goes on now, Mr.
Well, now Eddie's coming home, and he finds out about the car.
Oh, get ready for the music.
What happened to the car? I just bought you this car. I just bought you this car. The third car for you. What did you do to it?
You just got this sock full of glue.
What did you do to the car? The third car you wrecked.
That's the fifth car.
I can't believe it. What did you do?
That's like when someone ate the last Slim Jim.
We just found that on the ground. What'd you do? Oh. That was a perfectly good homeless guy we were eating.
Oh, jeez. Now we're resorting to cannibalism.
Cannibal Eddie Money.
Cannibal Eddie Money.
You're going to eat that toe.
What do you got
the
on
the
menu for
today? The toe's the best
part. Is it really?
What are you doing shoving him off the train? That was good human.
Good human. Do you eat anything with him, or is it just like...
Huh?
Like, do you mix the human flesh with anything? Or
sometimes it's all rotten. I can't tell what it is.
Okay,
roadkill human.
You just close your eyes and it all tastes the same.
Well, I can't open up one of them. I'm kind of getting a pencil stuck in it in jail. Okay,
right. Janis Joplin, we can't leave town for 20 minutes. I give up. I give up. You raise the kids.
But they're adults already. Well, sorry, Dad. I'm sorry you're not feeling well. I'm sorry to come home to this. You want some more medicine?
By medicine, I mean crack.
They should just have him in the crack pipe. Play that wacky
what are you
music
doing? Do you know what I had to do for this crack? I had to keister it all the way back from Mexico. You know how hard it was not to go to the bathroom? On an international flight?
Right. That would be the best if they have him like go to the other room. Ah, oh, she crashed the car. And he hits take a hit of the crack by him.
Like, he's got a belt in his mouth, shooting up. And then, like, the belt comically falls out of his mouth.
His eyes start rolling the back of his head. His mouth starts foaming.
What? And then, oh, you made me spill my needle.
He starts spitting the blood.
I pushed a bunch of air into my bloodstream.
All right, and finally.
And now we look ahead to next week's episode where he's got a little addiction.
Yes, so?
Doc gave me 6 months to live. I couldn't pay the bill. Give me another 6 months.
Next Sunday.
He's got a sugar addiction.
On an all-new Real Money.
Yep. Yeah, sure, sugar, that's great. Yeah.
Booger sugar.
Yeah. I'm real addicted to sugar. Sugar meth. It all looks... Yeah, honey, I can't help it. I just got this big package of sugar in the mail. Oh, why is the TV all taken apart? I had too much sugar last night. Let's see here. Okay, all right. Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey.
I comment about this guy. He used to have a house down Palm Coast, Florida, about 18, 20 years ago. I don't know if he still does, but this guy used to get kicked off the private golf course all the time. He was driving and chasing after all the alligators and all that. I mean, I used to come into the restaurant. He'd be so totally whacked out. But they kept on letting him come back. He'd go after all the birds. He'd be driving through everything and all that. But he was one crazy dude.
Yeah, I'm going to eat that alligator.
Chops off his armor.
As he's bleeding to death and like the
he's
nightmare.
He's in the woods just trying to find birds.
Oh, get it back here, you pigeon. Your lunch.
Doc gave me 6 months to live. I couldn't pay the bill. Give me another 6 months.
Next Sunday.
He's got a sugar addiction.
On an all-new Real Money.
You have to be smarter and wiser about your choices.
Eddie's doc tells him to diet.
I'm like Rocky, man. Just put me on the treadmill.
But food is an obsession.
I'm pre-diabetic.
The race is on.
I see a pre. I'm just on the cusp of diabetes.
The race is on.
Next time we jog, bring a paramedic, will you?
To trim down for the Loudwire Awards.
Here I come, better than ever. Heavy metal rock, baby.
On an all-new Real Money.
I'm going to start to have to just drink the vodka through enemas.
He constantly looks like a character in Scooby-Doo who's seen a ghost. His eyes are just like...
Yeah.
Like all googly every time you see the guy.
Well, that's because I would imagine there's a lot of chemicals.
Reason,
all right,
yeah.
Caller number 10, right?
Sugar.
Caller number 10. Yeah, sugar. Oh, that's the big thing.
It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Remember tonight's game, game six of the Bruins Leafs series, available at 98.5 the Sports Hub, that app, and also right here on the radio.
Mm-hmm. You can hear it there. You can hear our show too. They've got all of our podcasts and everything right there. Very easy to use app, by the way. Very user friendly. We've had some in the past that. Not quite as much, but this is a good one. We finally got one that works.
We do indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow, the Avengers screening, which is everyone's very excited for.
There is a huge movement on the internet right now that was going to chastise and call people out if there's any type of spoiler. And I do know that this is the longest disclaimer I've ever had sent to me that I had to agree to go to the screening. Like, more than any Star Wars, more than anything else. The only thing that was more restrictive was the one time that I interviewed Tom Cruise in person. And I had to sign this super big contract that basically said, when I interviewed him, I had to air the interview exactly the way it was recorded. And there would be no... editing for time. There would be no trimming at the beginning or the end. Literally from the moment you say hello to Tom Cruise to the very end, it has to air the exact way that it was. They wanted to make sure that nothing was manipulated to make him sound like he was saying. And that was right after, I think, the couch jumping incident. So he was very, very, very self-conscious about how people perceived him. And you remember how he went from being like the biggest star in Hollywood, and after that everyone thought he was crazy and the Scientology stuff started coming out? So yeah, so that's the worst, but as far as the biggest contract, without a doubt this is it. Which means something big happens and Captain America dies.
Okay.
That's all I'm hearing, is that Captain America dies. And yeah, I know people got mad at me for saying that, seeing that no one has seen the movie. Like, no one knows if that's true.
Well, I received a message that Chris Evans no longer wants to play Captain America.
Well, I think all of them are out of their contracts after the second Infinity War. Like, this is part one. There's Infinity War 1 and Infinity War 2. And I think after that, all of the original Avengers people, their contracts are fulfilled. And so that might be the end of it, and then they're going to try to restart the whole thing all over again.
Now, will they take your phone and make you put it in one of them sacks?
Yep, yep. They did that for Star Wars as well. And they're definitely doing that for this one.
Infinity War has a 25-page fight scene.
It is 2 hours and, is it 35 minutes? Is that what I said the other day?
So great.
2 hours and 35 minutes long. It's the longest Marvel movie ever.
I love sitting in the dark for 2.5 hours in a room full of strangers.
I like the Marvel movies. 2.5 hours is a lot to ask of anybody for any movie. Even like a Star Wars
New Girls. With commercials. Without commercials, it's like 6.5 New Girls. Which is the way, I mean, if you're just binging on flicks.
Just going to binge?
Sure. If you're just going to binge watch in honor of the last season. I mean, think of all you could get done in those 2 hours. All right, Rob Gronkowski. There are a lot of rumors swirling about him. He had a very odd press conference at Gillette Stadium. We will have that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.